and welcome to Real Estate Right Now, where we talk about real estate matters that matter to you. We are live here from Lindencraft Team Studios in Raleigh, North Carolina, part of the Research Triangle Park. Today's show, we're going to be talking about your heating, cooling. Well, this time we're getting into summer, talk about your cooling unit. What should you know about your cooling unit? What should you know about your whole unit in respect of it? And I got to tell you something. My guest is awesome. I have been working with his dad since the very beginning, with Bradley Biggs of Biggs HVAC Plumbing Electrical. You guys do it all. Brad, welcome to the show.
Thank you, sir.
It's great to have you here.
Yes, sir.
Good to be right here. So let's talk about, you know, the HVAC. Here we are coming out of the spring. We're going into the summer. Mm-hmm. Right. And, you know, the HVAC is kind of like breathing,
right?
You know, right. It's kind of like you don't notice it until it's not there.
Right.
Right.
Oh yeah.
So help us understand, you know, what we should be paying attention to right now going mm-hmm. into, cause you know, right now, I mean, today's a cool day.
Right. It's been a cool week.
It's been a cool week actually. Right. Which is really not very typical for us right
here in North Carolina. This time of year.
Yeah. So help us understand what we should be paying attention to right now going into talking about our HVAC units or AC units in particular.
So I guess for starters, the best thing you can do as a homeowner would be to consider having a licensed electrician or HVAC technician, for that matter, come out, take a look at the HVAC system, make sure you're ready to go for the summer. A lot of people like to refer to it as a tune-up. So, you know, having a technician come out and take a look to make sure everything's going good and is going to operate good for you is the best thing. Because sometimes, you know, your system could be working fine, but have an underlying issue that you don't even know about until it's too late, like we just said, until you come home from work and it's 90 degrees in your house.
Right.
Yeah, to try to avoid that, the best thing you can do is have a technician come out, perform a maintenance on the system, kind of go through, check refrigerant charge, make sure everything's good with your system from there. That's a big thing. You know, if you don't have enough refrigerant in your system, the system's not going to cool right whatsoever. So that would be where a good thing to start as a homeowner to kind of take a look at that.
And I know that they check the refrigerant, but what else does, mm-hmm. Because you guys do it
at
our house. You guys come to our house and do it.
Yeah.
What are some, I don't follow them around. Right. I know, but help them understand all the things mm-hmm. that they're checking for and what they're looking for when they're doing like a pre-maintenance, you know, a maintenance type of
look. Yeah. So, first things first, you know, typically, like I've been doing service now for around 5-6 years. And whenever I get to a home and get started on a maintenance, first thing I like to do, if the system's up in the attic or the crawl space, especially if it's a split system, I like to get up in the attic and start there.
Mm-hmm.
Take a look and just go ahead and see what kind of temperatures we're dealing with while the system's running in the cooling mode. If everything checks out good from there, I'll go ahead and continue on with the maintenance, open up the system, obviously turn power off first. Turn all the power off, go inside the system. Basically, where I like to start is tightening down all low voltage and high voltage connections that are inside the air handler. If they do become loose, you can have all sorts of issues if your electrical connections become loose. So I like to get in there and tighten those
up. And that's not something we should be doing.
No, not at all. Not at all. Because 9 times out of 10, your connections are going to be inside of your system.
Mm-hmm.
So you would have to physically open up the panels on the system and go into it. So I would definitely leave that to a technician to take a look at.
Yeah. Because I mean, we're talking about some voltage here.
For sure. Mainly residential, you're not going to get outside of 240 volts.
That's enough, though.
Oh, it's definitely enough. Definitely enough to you know, to wake you up.
I don't like getting zapped by 110, man. I don't know what. I don't want to get hit by 240.
Exactly. Yeah. So definitely leave that to a licensed professional to take a look at. But yeah, that's where we really start at inside the air handler.
Okay. Do you guys look at the ductwork too?
For sure. For me, whenever I'm starting out to do a maintenance, that's what I like to do while I'm getting my temperature while the system's mm-hmm. running. I like to go through and kind of just see what ductwork you have mm-hmm. because, you know, as we were kind of speaking about ductwork, it comes in all shapes and sizes. And, you know, nowadays we're really starting to see R8 ductwork, which that R value is just the insulation factor inside your ductwork.
And there's different types of ductwork, right? I mean, because...
Mm-hmm.
I know you have a name for it, but right? But some of it is square and
Yeah. So some of your ductwork, like, you know, if you look up and you see a vent just like here, you know, that's going to be a piece of flex, is what we call it, is connected to that boot itself. Mm-hmm. And typically that piece of flex is going to be running back to a distribution box or a plenum. And so that's mainly what your ductwork is going to be consistent of.
And then there's insulation inside of that.
Correct. So your ductwork, if you hop up in your attic or your crawl space, you'll see a lot of times it's either silver or black flex. Mm-hmm. And what you're looking at is the outer liner of your flex. And inside of that, there is, depending on what R value you have, typically there's going to be a couple inches of insulation that are separating the inner liner, which is actually where the conditioned air is moving through your duct. So that's basically the gist of ductwork itself.
So help the listener or viewer understand, like, how the insulation in the ductwork affects the cooling system.
Mm-hmm. So basically, if we're talking about flexible duct, over time, you know, over a long period of time, that insulation inside the ductwork is going to slowly start to break down. Basically causing a lot of conditioned air loss running through that ductwork. So, you know, you'll get the comment a lot, well, oh, this room always stays hot, this room always stays cold. 9 times out of 10, that can be attributed to your ductwork is starting to break down, and the insulation factor inside of that is starting to break down, causing the air to kind of just go all over.
So a lot of times we may be blaming the unit. Mm-hmm. When in fact it could be the ductwork.
It could be. You know, your ductwork is about 30% of your system's efficiency. So, you know, you could have the best system on the market with old, bad ductwork, right, and it's not going to work properly. I kind of always like to refer to it as, you know, you have a new car on used tires, in a sense. You know, that's kind of basically what you're working with when you have a new system with older, outdated ductwork.
Now, and then help us understand, I should say just me, but all of us, but help us understand, when that insulation begins to break down, mm-hmm, right? And it's just over time, right? I mean, you've got air blowing, correct, through, heat, cool, blowing, right, through the same ductwork. I mean, do we breathe the particles of that?
So from your flexible duct, not so much, but your plenums that are typically butted up right up against your air handler.
Right.
Over time, insulation can start to break down into microfiber filaments. And basically, as your air conditioning kicks on and kicks off, you're pretty much breathing that over a long period of time, which nobody wants to do.
Right.
Which is why we at Biggs, we really don't use insulated plenums from the inside. We actually kind of do our own thing where we wrap that ductwork from the outside, so that your insulation factor is all outside. So the only thing that air is touching as it's moving through the ductwork system is clean sheet metal. I mean, no insulation factor, where 9 times out of 10, most of the houses I go to and see, that's what they have, is box and flex and insulation wrapped on the inside rather than the outside. And that will break down over around 10-15 year period.
And this is another reason why people should, you know, especially if they got an older system, mm-hmm, they really should have you come out.
Correct, yeah.
Because you could be breathing, and if you have an older system, you could be breathing this stuff, right?
Right.
Even though, you know, even though you have a filter.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Right. Because that filter is on your return intake side. So you have a return and supply when you're talking about heating and air equipment. So that return filter is basically stopping pet dander, anything that you're kicking around on the floor, like small microbial parts. Right. But what's coming out of that supply, nothing's really stopping that. So, I mean, if you have insulation that's flying around through your ductwork, you might not even be able to see it, but you will be breathing that in.
Let's talk about the filter, mm-hmm, for a second, just because we just got here. I don't know. I never know how we get here, but we got here.
Right. Yeah.
But let's talk about the filter. I know that's one thing that we can do as a homeowner, is change the filters out, mm-hmm, right? How often should we be doing that? And is there a difference? Because, you know, like you go into like a Home Depot or Lowe's, right?
Oh, yeah.
And you see these filters, right? I mean, they've got like an aisle,
right,
of filters, yeah, right? Of different brands of filters. And they all range in all sorts of prices from, mm-hmm, you know, really, really cheap to, holy cow, I need to sell a child in order to buy a filter.
Right, yeah.
Right? So Help us understand how often we should do that, and what should we be looking for in a filter?
So basically, to break it down, nine times out of 10, what you're going to be seeing when you walk through a department store like that is pleated filters and polyester filters. Your pleated filters are going to be your more expensive filter. A lot of customers that really pride themselves on keeping the best type of filter in their system are going to go with the pleated filters. And then the, you know, 30-day throwaway filters are typically going to be your polyester filters. And it's pretty easy to spot them. Polyester filters are either going to be blue, white, or a green face on them.
Okay.
And you can almost literally just kind of poke right through them.
Okay.
Whereas pleated filters are going to have a almost like a mesh wire attached inside of them to keep everything firm. And those typically will last you around 2 to 3 months. I really wouldn't carry much over 3 months with those. But another thing about filters, you know, a lot of people tend to think that more filtration is better for your system. But in all honesty, the more filtration you put on your system can really affect your blower motor. I've seen a lot of failures with blower motors that are 2, 3, 4 years old just because the customer is leaving the most expensive pleated filter they can have in there for longer than it needs to.
Really?
So like I've seen some pleated filters that have been in for 8 months that got super plugged up. The customer has like 2 or 3 dogs and they're shedding all the time, and it caused that filter to get super plugged up, and it actually put so much stress on that blower motor that it couldn't take it, and it killed the blower motor.
Really?
So
it's that. I mean, because you know, you tell us change it.
Oh yeah, very
right,
important.
Right, you tell us to change it.
Mm-hmm.
And I get it. You know, especially here, like when we have pollen season. Right. I mean, I've seen the filters in pollen season here.
Right.
Where you're like, I almost want to change them twice a month.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Because it's that. There's just that much stuff floating in the air.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And one thing I will say with that, and this has helped a lot of our customers that have a lot of seasonal allergies, stuff along those lines, is a whole house media filter.
Okay.
Now, and I actually believe we installed these on your
house. You did.
Yep,
yeah, right.
So these filters are 5-inch filters, whereas the ones we were talking about at the department store typically are going to be 1-inch filters.
Right.
These 5-inch filters, they're good for 12 months, which is insane. So you put them in there typically, like a lot of customers that have them, what we do is we'll bring them out with us on a maintenance.
Yep.
We'll start the maintenance and we'll replace that filter, and then that filter won't need to be replaced for another 12 months. And another cool thing about it is, technically, the manufacturers of those filters claim that you don't need to run return air filters when that 5-inch filter is coupled with it. So you don't really need to run your 1-inch filters if you have that 5-inch media filter.
Yeah, I know in our house, since you guys put that in, I've never changed a filter on a return filter.
Right, yeah.
Right? First of all, it's up in the...
It's typically going to be attached to your air handler.
Yeah, I mean, it's way up. I would have to get a 12-foot ladder to get to my return.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? Yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, if I was going to do it. So I know we don't, but then you guys put it in, and then every year, once a year, you guys come in and you replace that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, that I never thought about it because I never think about it.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, right, because you guys do it.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of like out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah, I mean, because, in another house, right, I have to change those filters, you know, rental house. I have to change those filters every month because, you know, typically renters don't always do that, right?
Right.
So you have to make sure those are changed every month.
Yeah.
So that's a great idea. And the cost wasn't terribly.
No, not at all. And I mean, that kind of brings me to another point with filtration. You know, like you just said, sometimes in some houses you'll have super tall ceilings,
right,
and it's a pain every month to change,
right,
that filter,
right,
every 3 months. And that whole house media filter really kind of nips that in the bud. You'll never need to pop up on a ladder and change that filter out again. Like me, for example, I had one at my old house, and I have a German Shepherd and a Golden Retriever, and they shed all the time. And with that media filter, we noticed we kind of had to go in just about every 8 months and swap it out, just because we weren't the norm, because, you know, we had two big dogs that shed all the time. But even then, that filter was a lifesaver rather than having to change it, you know, every 20 days or every 30 days with a 1-inch filter. And it worked really, really well.
That's really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Those are a lot of our customers have those, and then on pretty much all of the changeouts that we're doing for add-on replacement, right. We're installing those on the systems as well to better filtrate the systems for the customers.
Very, very cool. Mm-hmm. What else can we do as homeowners? Is there something else? Is there anything that we could do to help take pressure off the system or prepare as we're moving into the summer?
Well, you really hit on the big one. I really can't stress how big of a role filters play in your system. Filters, having a maintenance contract with a licensed contractor is a really, really big deal, okay. In my opinion. And then, you know, it's kind of like we talked about earlier, you know, you really don't want to have someone who's unfamiliar with the system really try right. to dive in and work on the system mm-hmm. just because there's a liability for the customer. You right. could damage the pieces of equipment. Really, I would leave that to a technician to kind of dive into okay. to take a look at that.
All right. Well, let's move on to talking about the system itself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do we figure out – well, let me ask you this. How many times have you walked into a home and, you know, they bring you – you're walking into a house, whether it's new or, you know, previously owned,
mm-hmm.
and you walk in and you start looking at the system and you walk outside and you go – oh, this isn't enough system for this house.
Yeah.
How often does that happen?
So a little bit more than I'd like it to. but, you know, that's kind of like we were speaking of. It really boils down to whenever I go to a customer's house, 9 times out of 10, I get the, this room's super hot. This room's always staying super right. cold. And I hear that on systems that have been installed 2-3 years in the past, and which you shouldn't be having those problems. And I'll hop up in the attic, and depending on, you know, it can be your ductwork is undersized, or another one is your ductwork might be oversized, or the system might be oversized. I see that a couple of times,
whoa, whoa,
too.
Whoa. I can get with you, Brad, on the system's undersized.
Mm-hmm.
But how does an oversized system affect that?
Yeah, so, you know, if let's talk furnaces for a minute. So if you have a oversized furnace, let's say your house, you know, really needed about 3 tons of air or heat. Or, you know, for a furnace, let's say your house called for around 42,000 BTUs, and I came in and I put a 92,000 BTU system right. in. Basically, what's going to happen is it's going to heat. It's going to heat really, really well, but it's going to do it so quickly that your system is going to short cycle. And the system is not going to – basically, that system is going to think that there's a problem because we're getting way too hot, way too quick.
Fast.
Exactly.
Got it.
And that can be a problem as well. So you really have to make sure you do a proper load calculation whenever you're replacing a system or installing a system for a brand new house to make sure that it's the correct size for that house because, you know – oversized or right. undersized, either way, right. it's a bad thing. You need to have it perfect for that house.
Right.
And every house is different.
Right.
Every single house is different.
So when you do – now, do you have something that you do to do these calculations for people? Because mm-hmm. Before we got on air, mm-hmm. you were saying to me, like, I was thinking everything was even, like, 2-ton, 2.5, maybe 2.5, 3-ton. But then you said, oh, no, you get a 2.89. I was like, oh, what?
Well, yeah, so on our load calculations, sometimes depending, and it really, like I said, every house is different. So, you know, you have a 1,200 square foot house. You have one house that has, you know, minimal windows, minimal glass doors, stuff right. like that. You have another house, the exact same square footage, that has, you know, 3x5 windows all around the house.
Right.
Both 1,200 square foot houses could call for different tonnages on your load calculation because of the fact that you have that right. many glass around your house. And that can really, really affect what size system you're going to need in your home going by that load calculation. So I could do a load calc and find, oh yeah, this house needs 2.89 tons of air, but there's not a 2.89 ton system.
Right.
So I'm going to most likely have to give this customer a 3-ton system.
Okay.
And with that being said, we're also going to have to look at your ductwork to make sure your ductwork is capable of doing 3 tons of air.
So they may have installed a smaller system, which meant smaller ductwork.
Mm-hmm.
And you may have to replace both.
Unfortunately, yeah. I mean, you might have to go in, and depending on what your system was sized for, unfortunately, I've seen some cases where load calcs were not performed.
Right.
And, you know, it's kind of like a guesstimation. And right. They just go in, they go, yep, this is what we're going to do. This, you know, they kind of use like a rule of thumb, and they say, right. This is probably going to work. And then 5 years into it, the customer's like, I cannot stand it. And on the hottest of days, it's always miserable in this particular room.
Right.
And you know, you come out, you do your system evaluation, you come to find out, oh yeah, your system is a little too small for this space. So that can really kind of
Do windows affect the heating and cooling?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. So, you know, not only like, is that going to affect it from a load calculation standpoint, but you know, heat loss and having your windows not properly sealed is really going to cause that issue as well. I mean, because, you know, you can have the best system on the market, but you have leaking windows, and, you know, that air conditioning is not going to stay in the house whatsoever if your windows are.
So do you take that into consideration when you're doing your calculation on the load that you need? Do you do that in terms of, like, how many windows there are?
Yeah.
In terms of, because, I mean, if, like, well, if you have fewer windows, I mean, if you know, when I was growing up, we actually had these great big, huge picture windows.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they were enormous, right? And it was pretty, we're in Nebraska, and we had these huge picture windows. I mean, an enormous picture window, and you could feel the cold. And by the way, it gets cold in Nebraska.
Yeah, right.
It could get hot too, by the way.
Yeah.
But I know that big, huge picture window had to be making the system work.
Yeah.
Harder.
For sure. For sure. And so like if I was coming out to that house in particular, right. And I was doing my assessment, and, you know, let's say you were wanting to purchase a new system,
right.
That's where I would start. I would walk the perimeter of the home, and I would basically jot down what size windows you have, mm-hmm. what position they are, because that will come into effect. You know, if it's on the east side of the house, we really need to put that into consideration.
Right.
And basically, we punch that into our load calculation, and that's going to determine where we need to go with what size system we need to put in your home. You know, because if you have multiple of those around the side of the house, you know, that's really going to cause a lot of air conditioning loss and heat loss throughout the house. So we're going to need to probably up your system, depending on what it says.
Okay, you said 30% of the heating and cooling is the ductwork.
Mm-hmm.
How much does insulation in the house affect what we do? Is there a percentage that you think about that? Because, like, I'll give you an example of something that we did. You know that we did this. So we, of course, have our houses are insulated.
Yeah.
But then what we did is we did the spray foam insulation in
right.
in all over inside the house.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it seemed to have effect, or am I imagining it, but it seemed to have a huge effect.
Yeah, for sure. You know, you're definitely going to keep that, you're going to keep that air inside much better than you would if it wasn't well insulated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and kind of like you're referring to, I've been to multiple customers' houses that have that spray foam insulation mm-hmm, in the attic, mm-hmm. and it really does seem to do a good bit of extra help with the system by keeping that cold air inside the house.
Well, we're talking about length of the time that the system can run. I mean,
right.
Listen, this is your profession. I don't know what the percentage is that we're actually saving there. I'm assuming we are.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the one thing I am assured of by doing that is that the length of time we're going to be able to keep that system is longer.
Correct. Oh, yeah, for sure. You know, rather than having your system run constantly during the summer on these 90-degree days, you know, with a non-well-insulated house, you know, if you have a insulated house like you're describing, you know, with spray foam insulation in the attic, one can only imagine that it's going to keep that conditioned air inside that house much, much longer rather than it kind of leaking out because of there's less insulation in the home, you know, and that actually kind of brings me into something, you know, that I was going to speak about modulating equipment.
Okay.
When you have a modulating equipment or a modular system, basically, now I will say these are going to be higher end pieces of equipment. These aren't going to be your builder grade. You're not going to get this for the bottom dollar. But basically what these systems will do is they promote a longer runtime, to have more dehumidification in the house.
Right.
So it's a longer runtime, but it's a more efficient runtime rather than your system just cutting on, off, on, off, on, off. This system, like on a day like today, is a perfect example. Your system doesn't have to run at 100% capacity.
Right.
It could go as down as low as 20%, So you're going to see that on your bill. You're going to save a whole lot of money by having that modulating system rather than having a bare bones system that all it knows is one speed, which is just on or off.
Right.
Whereas a modulating system, you know, you can have longer runtime and at a very, very low capacity to where, you know, you're not really hitting your bill a whole lot for.
Well, like today is a cool day.
Right.
I don't know that the system came on today.
Exactly. Yep.
I mean, because the temperature was perfect in the house, but I didn't hear the system, you know, pop on like we either needed heat or we needed cool. It just seemed like we were at that perfect temperature where it wasn't running. I don't know what the calculations are there, but I every time it's not running, I know that I'm not paying for anything.
Exactly.
At that point.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, that kind of ties right back into it. You know, if it was maybe 5-10 degrees hotter today, like 80 degrees outside, you know, we might be in that threshold where it's like the system can probably run at 40-50% capacity. You know, you're still having the system run, that the house is going to remain nice and comfortable, but you know, you're not having to constantly run your air conditioner at 100%, running that bill through the roof, you know.
So what do you wish people knew about heating and air that maybe they don't know?
Well, that's a good question. For me, there's a lot that goes into it.
Is a ton.
Yeah. Like whenever I was really, really young and I kind of knew that this is what I wanted to do when I was growing up, my dad, you know, was explaining to me, there's a good bit that goes into it, son. You know, he was like, it's not just, you know, as cut and dry as it sounds. And then when I finally started to get into it and working, I was like, man, this really is from installation to service. It's a lot of stuff, more than just, you know, oh, that's the thing that sits outside of my house and it's kind of an eyesore. You know, there's a lot that goes into it. It really is. So
yeah, it's just not. When we started the show, I think we kind of take it for granted. That it's going to cool in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to heat in the winter. I mean, I think we just take that for granted that that's going to happen, but we don't understand all the moving parts that are required to actually make that happen for you.
Oh yeah.
And it's not until it doesn't happen that we notice it. Right. Because you and I are sitting in a very comfortable room.
Oh yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so you and I just take for granted that it's going to be comfortable.
Yep.
But if it was really hot, you'd be saying to me, you need to really check your AC unit out.
For sure.
Right?
For sure.
Right? And so I think it is for people to help them prevent that, you know, I think is like really, really important, because you don't want that to happen. It's not that things can't happen.
Yeah. And, you know, that kind of brings us back to where we started with, you know, having it checked out before stuff really starts to go bad. You know, and a good time to do that is really days like today, weeks like today or this week, where it's been really, really mild out.
Yeah.
Rather than waiting until, you know, middle of June, middle of July where every company's booked.
Right.
You know, there is calls booked from, you know, now until next week and 2 weeks out. And, you know, it really puts a big stress on the HVAC industry, just because, you know, we have hundreds of customers calling in, you know, because unfortunately a lot of times, like we talked about, you know, it's not on their mind until they come home and it's 80 degrees in the house when, you know, they have it set for 70.
Right.
So it's very, very important to have routine maintenance on your system, in my opinion.
Good.
That way, you know, everything's preventative, you know, whereas, you know, we can come into a house and say, look, this particular part, like a really common one, you know, is like a capacitor. You know, this capacitor was about to, it's really, really weak. It's under manufacturer specs. And, you know, we caught it on the maintenance and we can go ahead and get it replaced and fixed. That way, when it does get hot, instead of your capacitor blowing up, you know, we can get that replaced for you and keep you riding smooth for the summer.
That's awesome.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
You know, we've done it. You know, we've done our 30 minutes. It's gone really, really fast.
Oh, yeah.
This has been a lot of fun. It's been really educational. Brad Biggs, tell everybody out there how they can get a hold of you.
So, Biggs Heating and Air Conditioning, Plumbing and Electrical. Our office number is 919-329-8288. We're located in Garner, but we pretty much serve the Raleigh metro area. So, that's pretty much it.
That's awesome. You've been great, man.
Yes, sir.
Thanks for doing this with me.
Yes, sir. No problem at all. It was a good time.
I look forward to it. Folks, that's the show. You know what I say to you every week, right? You have a lot of choices. You chose us. I really do appreciate you for doing that. And you know what? As I say to you all over the world, you know what that is. Ciao, everyone.
worth living if you're dreaming small.